Well, it is lovely to see you all this morning. But I want to ask a question. Why are you here? Why are we here this morning? Anybody? You know why you're here?
To worship God.
Thank you, Steve. To worship God, to praise God. And why are we here to worship God? Perfect, because you can't make it through a week without him. Yeah, did anybody grow up going to church? Lots of people grew up going to church. I grew up going to church. In fact, I was raised Catholic. My family went to church every Sunday, even when we were on vacation, and a whole lot of holy days of obligation, too. I went to church because my parents went to church. My parents went to church because their parents went to church. And their parents went to church because their parents, and so on, and so on, and so on, all the way back to the very first churchgoers in my family. So personal faith can be a kind of genetics, an inheritance rooted in teaching and behavior instead of in DNA. Faith can also be an adopted inheritance, as in my case. I was raised Catholic, but at some point I felt a call to ministry, and the Catholic Church doesn't ordain women, so I had to leave. It took me a long time to find another theological home. I couldn't go to just any other tradition because they ordained women. I had to find one that fit my understanding of God and humanity. My new tradition had to be in the Christian bloodline and understand God as just and merciful. And likewise, Paul had an adopted faith. He was raised a pious Jew, inheriting the faith of his ancestors. He converted, but unlike me, his conversion didn't come on slowly. Paul, a zealous Jew, encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus and was struck blind. Probably Jesus had to do that to get his attention because Paul was a very forceful person. And when he regained his sight, he became equally zealous for the gospel. And in his ministry, Paul brought the good news of the gospel to thousands of Gentiles, including the family of Timothy, to whom today's letter is written. Writing to his adopted child in faith, Paul mentions Timothy's tears. It's not clear why Timothy cried, but he seems to be struggling. We all struggle at times, for a day when nothing seems to go right, or for a longer period where there's a prolonged uncertainty or a long string of things going wrong. Perhaps Timothy was crying because he had to say goodbye to Paul. Perhaps he cried because he was discouraged. So much work to do for the church, but so much persecution to face. So much controversy among the members, so much confusion in teaching. Or simply, perhaps Timothy was simply weary because he had already done so much work and the road ahead was so much longer, with no end in sight. So Paul begins his encouraging letter by remembering his own ancestry. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. And then he remembers Timothy's faith, which Timothy also inherited almost as an heirloom from his ancestors. a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And then Paul even inserts himself into Timothy's faith heritage. I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. Paul's phrasing suggests that faith is a living entity that finds hosts. First his ancestors, then him. First Lois and Eunice, and then Timothy. First my umpteenth great-grandparents, then my grandparents, then my parents, and then me. So think, who are your ancestors in faith? Who are your descendants in faith? Who are your siblings in faith? It's especially fitting that this reading falls today, World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday is a day when Christians of most denominations around the world celebrate the Lord's Supper with a particular awareness that our brothers and sisters everywhere join us in doing so. And not just our brothers and sisters in faith today, everyone, ever. Our communion liturgy reads, "We praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and prophets, with apostles and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name." All the faithful, every time, every place, past, present, and future. God time, not linear time. Kairos, not chronos. Celebrating the Lord's Supper in Kairos time means that when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we do so with everyone who ever has or whoever will. With my great-great-great-great-grandparents and my great-great-great-great-grandchildren and theirs. And theirs, and so on. In the Lord's Supper, the entire body of Christ comes together in anticipation, in celebration, and in truth, sharing in God's heavenly banquet for God's beloved children. In today's scripture, Paul encourages Timothy in faith and discipleship by grounding him in the tradition in which he stands. The faith that lived through his ancestors, the faith that lives through us, the faith that equips us not with a spirit of cowardice, but with a faith of a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. He encourages Timothy to rekindle the gift of God within him. And now I know that kin and kindle are not related etymologically. Kin is Old English and comes from Germanic roots, and kindle, on the other hand, is a Middle English term that comes from Old Norse. But in playing with this scripture, I was struck by the convergence of kin, the genealogies, and rekindle, reinvigorating God's gift. So Paul links the two, family and faith, because they are linked. As a church, our faith has come down through apostolic succession. Jesus ordained the apostles, who ordained ministers through the laying on of hands, who ordained ministers all the way down to today. In this room, deacons, teaching elders, ruling elders, we all trace our ordination back to Jesus Christ through our family of faith. Paul also links family and faith because there is strength in numbers. As individuals, our faith and energy may wax and wane, but when we rekindle, when we reconnect with our family of faith, as the body of Christ, someone is always strong. Someone is always firm in their faith. So if today you are weary or brokenhearted, I am full of joy for the gospel. And if tomorrow I am tired and disheartened, you are urgently passionate for what God is doing in this time. As the body of Christ, believers from all over the world remember together on one day what the Lord has done for us. Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Enacting that truth, we might all rekindle the gifts of God that are in us. And on those down days that will inevitably follow, may we remember that we are not alone. On the down days and the bright days, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, powerful and loving witnesses who will bear us up until we can stand on our feet again. And now, to the one who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or even imagine. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.